perdón, perdón de quien se fue.
I got one today.
Where's the other one?
Sleeping.
Your goodies. You can eat and be merry, and we can hear from Jennifer today about our life group. Yesterday, how many of us went? Was it five of us? Five of us went to the Life March down in Austin. It was great. It was. We left here at about, myself and Jeremy Nelson, we left at about 6:30 in the morning, and we got back at 6 p.m. So it's just about a 12-hour day. It wasn't too bad. It was good. It's 3-hour, 3.5-hour drive. And everything is set up really well. And as I mentioned, the first thing we start off, the reason why we went so early, because the march didn't start to what, 2?
1 o'clock.
The march starts at 1. So why do we get down there so early? Well, we have as I mentioned before, we have a worship service, a service of repentance, where we remove the log out of our own eye first. And then we also have a Bible study and a lunch by the church. St. Paul in Austin hosts it. And then, because they're close to downtown, and then we drive to the parking areas, and then we stage, and then wait to then go on the march. And it was great seeing all kinds of people there, all kinds of Christians, all stripes of Christianity. And you also see, I mean, this is part of the fun. I'm going to have to cover my microphone. You also get to see some of the outlandish things, right? Some of the fringe. But thanks be to God, they know life issues. They're there. They're dedicated. I mean, I saw religions and churches that I have never even heard of.
Yeah.
But boy, they were there, and it was really great to see so many people, so many different stripes coming together for this march. We had signs. We had the green hats that there's on the table there. So the LCMS, you can see us pretty well with the bright green. And unfortunately, and this is kind of sad, but I think we drove the furthest, I think. I think 3.5 hours was the farthest somebody drove and in the Lutheran group. But only the two pastors from St. Paul and Austin were there. The only LCMS churches in Austin, their two pastors were the only pastors there. And then also their church, they were the only people from Austin that was there. But, you know, what do you think the average age of the attendees were, Barbara?
Didn't they say
something?
Huh?
It's
30
years old. Was the average age of LCMS members who were there for the march. I mean, you should have seen the number of college kids that were there. Even A&M, they had shirts that said Aggies for Life, right, as they were there. And they had probably maybe 10 or so students there. So it was really good. It was a nice opportunity. As I mentioned, we sang hymns. There were other, like the Catholics, they were wearing red hats and had red signs, and they brought busloads. Did y'all see the buses parked there?
Yes.
There was a line of those big coaches. I guess that's what they're called now.
Yes.
They're not buses, they're motor coaches, just lined up. So I think, last weekend was the Life March in Dallas, and they didn't do a good job of advertising it. I didn't hear about it until only a week ahead of time. But I think we as a congregation can start, you know, with Jennifer and the life group's work, of course, become more engaged and be more ready to sacrifice our schedules a little bit to go and do this good thing. So the LCMS, if you are on Facebook, sorry, we were just talking about this, you can go and see all the different life marches at all the different cities. The LCMS publicity crew was there yesterday, and they were taking videos and taking pictures and recording, and they took a picture of the whole group of LCMS Lutherans that were there, but I didn't get a copy of it. The LCMS photographer did, but we were very well represented. It was very, very, I was very encouraged, and yeah, it was good. I'm sorry to say it's the first time I've gone. But indeed, you know, the people who are there who go, you know, very rarely do you meet somebody who says, yeah, this is my, I mean, you do, somebody who says, this is my first time. It's usually all the people who are there are repeat. They come again because it's great. It really is. So one funny thing too, is we sang, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. And they edited the hymn.
Yeah.
And on the back of the sign, I don't want to steal any of Jennifer's thunder, but on the back of the sign, they have the text for the hymns that we sing as we're walking, so you can sing and such. And so they had, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. And Lord, keep us steadfast in your word, of course, was written by Luther in his day. And one of the verses, it is, Lord, curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom. What is the verse? I can't even think of it now. Where's Nancy? No, the part where it says, save us from the Pope and Turk. So we're surrounded by Catholics. This is the ecumenical version. They removed that verse. But there, of course, were some stubborn Lutherans there that were like, save us from the Pope! Oh, it was great. We had a good laugh. And that's just the spirit of the march. It's just a nice time. The Catholics, they were singing some of their hymns and songs. Not a whole lot of evangelicals singing, but a lot of different people just walking, a lot of kids. It's really a time it's kind of like a peace and joy, you know, and just a time of, in the face of something very serious, of course, but families are there, kids are there. And then you go to the rally at the Capitol and you hear people speak, and it's just kind of a carnival. I don't want to use the term carnival, but that's what I'm going to use. Sort of atmosphere where everybody's kind of happy and joyful and glad to be there. The governor didn't speak. George and Barbara said he spoke last year.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he didn't speak this year. But the police were out in force. And I tell you, I bet you they noticed the difference between the pro-life marches and the other marches. Yeah, I hope so, right? And they were all just so very kind. As I mentioned earlier too, as we're going through the streets, you know, the police are closing intersections. So people, you know, you remember what happened in Wisconsin a couple years ago, right? That there was a Christmas march, a Christian Christmas march in Wisconsin. I can't remember the city. And that guy drove his vehicle through the crowd. So the police are very aware of this. So they're at every intersection stopping the traffic. The police presence was enormous. And so some people, of course, getting frustrated or whatever. But then there were also, as I mentioned, people who got out of their cars, one woman in particular, and she was screaming at us at the top of her lungs. It was pretty open and apparent, this poor woman coming up against, you know, the reality of what abortion is. But that was it. Nothing. Everybody, no big challenges, no big problems. It is, though, then the next day when your voice is dead. But did y'all want to add anything else?
No, but do we know what the numbers were yet?
No idea. Okay. I don't know. So next year, usually it will be, right? It's this week because of in memory of the passing of Roe v. Wade. It's, I guess, the last weekend in January. So have it on your calendar. I'm working with some other pastors in other churches and other people to make our Dallas March for Life a bigger event. Only 25 people showed up from the LCMS and DFW for the March for Life at Dallas. So we're going to try to replicate what they did in Austin. So we'll have a meal, we'll have a Bible study, a worship service. It was at Our Redeemer Dallas this last year, and we're going to try to do it there again. I know Faith Plano had a few people who were there for that. So we want to be local, but also joining in with other Lutherans around the state. So with that, Jennifer Cinquepalmi will update us on the life ministry here at Emmanuel, the things that we're doing. So I will pass things off to her.
Okay, so today being Life Sunday, we wanted to update you on the work of the Life Team. So the Life Team here at Emmanuel has decided that we exist to create awareness, to educate, and provide opportunities to serve. And at the bottom, I don't know if you can read that, but the Life Team, besides myself, is Chris Ludwinski, George and Barbara McClure, and Emily Otmers. So our plans for 2024 are to provide resources at Emmanuel to educate and create awareness first and foremost. So we put our table out, and I hope that all of y'all would come and visit it. We've given out a lot of copies of Why Pro-Life, and we want everyone to read that. We want to give an educated and a biblical defense when we talk to people about abortion. It's a quick and easy read. That, along with a Lutheran catechism on abortion and life, are the materials I've ordered the most. They're the most taken. Then we also, new this time, have some devotion books for all different ages. So just be sure to check out our table. We also, in addition to the table, we put life quotes in the bulletin every Sunday. We have today a bulletin insert for Life Sunday, and we also put those in the bulletin for Mother's Day and Father's Day. Then we hold a baby bottle drive from Mother's Day to Father's Day to support Real Options in Allen. Last year, we collected 17 baby bottles, and we will continue to do that. We've changed the timing. This year, it will be from Mother's Day to Father's Day. 100% of that goes to the clinic. I didn't even count the money. I just made sure all the checks were made to the clinic and not to Emmanuel, and we gave those to them. And you're going to see where that money goes in a second. And then we're going to continue to provide now two local crisis pregnancy centers, both Real Options in Allen and Hope in McKinney, with books and Bibles. So I just visited with Real Options because that's a new clinic we've just started to work with. And I gave them a stack of things to choose from. And what they chose are, first of all, our Bible, which goes to Hope as well. When the Life team started, we had a very generous donor from Emmanuel who gave us 600 Bibles. So these are going to both clinics. We put a sticker on the front that says, come learn and grow with us, and it has all Emmanuel's information. They also chose a children's Bible, a women's devotion book. They, unlike Hope, also wanted Spanish Bibles. They said that they have a church donating those, but they always run out. So we're giving them those. And then they took the New Testament storybook for kids. It's great for older kids, but it's also great for adults new to the faith. And then they chose, and I was pretty excited about this, they said that their women are put into small groups, and it's the responsibility of the small group leader to choose and lead their Bible study. So now, for the first time, they're going to have a consistent Bible study for all of their groups, and it's both in English and Spanish, thanks to CPH. So they've taken that as well. So we will continue to provide those to both clinics. And then we partner with Stitch in Time to hold a school supply drive in August to support Lutheran World Relief. Lutheran World Relief is a wonderful organization with... If there's hurricane, tornado, flood, whatever kind of crisis, they're there. And the work that we do helps to keep kids learning during those times, or they have hygiene kits, they have baby kits. But this is what we've chosen to do with them. And really, all the Life team does is solicit the congregation to bring the items, and then at a certain point, we tie up the loose ends because they can only take completed kits. And I just wanted to briefly talk about the very sobering and staggering statistics of abortion in America. Nearly half of all pregnancies to American women are unintended. 4 in 10 of these end in abortion. 1 in 3 women will have an abortion by the time they reach 45. Over half of the women who've had an abortion have had more than one. And 70% of women who have abortions say they are Christian. So you can see these clinics have their work cut out for them. Since the reversal of Roe versus Wade, abortions have increased in every state in which they remain legal. In some, such as Illinois, abortions have risen by 69%. This is happening because since 2000, the estimated number of women who've used the abortion pill is approximately 5.9 million women, which accounts for a little over half of all abortions. So what's happening is women are able to get the abortion pill online, and many of them have never seen a doctor. So, it's intended for women below 8 weeks of pregnancy, 8 weeks or less. And if they take it beyond that, there are consequences that the women are unprepared for. If, say, for instance, they have an ectopic pregnancy and they take the abortion pill, they will die. And then for those who take it at 8 weeks or less, they aren't prepared for the excruciating way they're going to have this abortion. And so what these clinics are seeing, well, first of all, both Hope and Real Options administer the abortion reversal pill, and both clinics have experienced a huge increase in the need for trauma counseling as the result of the increase in chemical abortions. So if you were to look up Hope Women's Center, you would probably land on a website that's intended for their clients. The website for you and I is standwithhope.org, and at that site you'll find who's running the clinic and volunteer opportunities, their training schedules for volunteers, their upcoming fundraisers, and things like that. You can see the list of their services. They all do pregnancy tests, STD testing, they do ultrasounds, they do counseling, and all of their services are at no cost to the client. Same with Real Options. The site for you and I is friendsofro.com. They offer pretty much the same services, all at no cost. And then I wanted to kind of highlight some of the things that Real Options offers. If you go to friendsofro.com, one thing you can do is sign up to be a prayer partner with them. And they will send you emails periodically. And this one was from January 3rd, and the top has a child that has been saved because of the work of Real Options, and it's one you've been praying for. So you would get a praise report, and then you get the prayer request. I cut it kind of short because I couldn't fit them all on here. But that's something you might be interested in if you want to pray with them. Another program I like really well is their 180 Degrees Abstinence Program. It's run by Rich Shelton, and he has a team of young adults who relate really well to young people. And they go into schools, junior high and high school, and they talk to them about the importance of abstinence until marriage, and they do a really great job. If your kids attend Faith Lutheran School, I think they still go there. My kids all heard this program at Faith when they were in junior high. But I think they do a really good job. They also don't forget about the men, and you can see what they are trying to do there by working with these fathers. I had to share with you their Christmas card. This was their Christmas card, and if you can see, these are all the names of the children saved by the work of Real Options in 2023. So I just wanted to share that with you. And then this is their mobile medical clinic. And this, they can do anything in their mobile medical clinic, all their services that they do in a brick and mortar clinic. And this allows them to be anywhere. This has a regular location in Melissa. And then they also have a regular location in South Oak Cliff. I haven't been in this one, but I have been in one of these, and you enter one door, they have a place for the pregnancy test, you go into another room for the ultrasound, you go into another room for counseling, and you exit a different door. They're trying to, for the sake of patient confidentiality, but it's very much like a medical clinic setting. And then Real Options has some brand new billboards. One of these is at 75 and Parker. One's at 75 and Lot Howell, and one is off of 380 in Princeton. And what's happening is that Google is making it difficult, if not impossible, for them to reach their clients due to the attacks and censorship on pro-life centers. So now that you've seen, you know, state-of-the-art medical mobile clinics and billboards, you know that there's a lot of cost involved. Not to mention the doctors and nurses and the staff that they have. And then, so I thought I showed you pictures from Real Options, so I'll show you numbers from Hope. The numbers for Real Options are going to be very similar. So this is 2023 in review. So Hope served just shy of 2,000 patients For them, it was a 200% increase, but that's because they moved to a new facility and they can now handle more. 74% of Hope's patients choose life after receiving education and support. That's very consistent with the national numbers. You may have heard that when a woman sees her baby on ultrasound, 65 to 70% of the time she'll choose life. So that's pretty consistent. Hope has some incredible adoption stories to tell. If you ever visit Hope, there's over three doorways. It says Hope, and the third one is the name of an adoption agency they partner with. I can't remember the name right now. And then they've added expanded STD testing, abortion pill reversal, and post-abortion exams for those in need of medical care and emotional support. 60 patients made decisions to follow Jesus. They have a weekly engaged parenting classes, and they are overflowing. They're now adding a Spanish-speaking class. They have on-site Medicaid services that are set to begin this year. And then Hope's Men of Hope team ministered to over 400 boyfriends, and they added a men's coordinator position to lead the male volunteers. So, you know, there's a lot of volunteer opportunities, not just sitting face-to-face with women in counseling, which is what people usually think about. There's planning banquets, there's planning baby showers, which I know Real Options does quarterly. There's the men who do the work that the men do. I also know that Hope's, it's right across the street from Our Savior Lutheran Church in McKinney, and it's one of the pastors there at Our Savior that does the Bible studies weekly for the men, the boyfriends. There's a lot of Lutheran churches involved in these clinics. If you've ever been to one of their banquets, you would see in the program how many. I think there were five or six that on Hope's. Hope is now open three nights a week to meet the needs of patients. And they open their boutique and use a rewards program for participants to earn rewards and shop for free. Everything in the boutique is brand new. And I went this week and dropped off Reba Williams, made 10 beautiful diaper bags. And I can't even count the number of burp cloths and blankets that Stitch in Time has made now that I've delivered to these clinics. It's hundreds. So they're over the moon excited to receive all of that. So I delivered those this week. So how can you help? So first and foremost is that we all need to pray. There is a prayer in the bulletin. You can take it home and use that. You can take part in our baby bottle drive. Donate diapers. Especially Real Options says they're always running low on size one. And I do thank the VBS, Sunday School Kids, for their recent diaper drive. They were super excited to receive that. You can volunteer at a local crisis pregnancy center, attend a March for Life, and be prepared to speak up for life at all ages. And that's what we're trying to help with the resources. So this photo is from the Life March 2023. As Pastor was saying, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod shows their presence with the bright green. This was a city I had to cut up skyscrapers to fit it on here, so I don't know what city it was, but you can see the presence there. And then, this is from yesterday's Life March. George, did you have anything to add about the Life March?
Oh, I definitely do.
Okay.
If I may, just real quickly, I made some notes, and a few notes, and one of the first ones was that I didn't realize the pastor was there, but I did hear that he slept through the sermon. And you heard from the beginning that he left at 6:30 in the morning, so I didn't blame him for that. That was a lie, actually. We did hear a presentation by Pastor White. It was a very sobering presentation. I guess that's the best word I could use for it. Pastor White was from what church, Pastor?
Memorial, or Our Savior, Houston.
Our Savior of
Houston.
Of Houston, okay. I'd forgotten. But interesting enough, something I had not thought of. He compared the problem that we have with abortion to the fact that we have as a culture, as a community, thinking of the fetus as being less than human. Just like in the Holocaust, and that's what he used. The Nazi regime approached the Jews as being less than human, and they treated them exactly that way. Gas chambers, cutting them open to do experiments with bodies without any anesthesia. This is a very sobering presentation of about an hour, which I'm condensing down to about a minute or two. But we treat that as being less than human. And he took us to task, and he leaned heavily on pastors as well for not teaching this problem from a biblical viewpoint. We look over here, you shall not murder, number 5. And that's what it is. When you yank a fetus out of the body of a woman, that is murder. Let that sink in for a moment. And he compared it to the Holocaust. And also he felt that pastors and Pastor Tabb pointed out that there are only 2 pastors there from Austin. Among all the LCMS churches, there are only 2 from Austin. Of course, we were at St. Paul. That's where we started. And that's where we heard this presentation. But he emphasized that this is not a political situation. This is not political. A lot of politicians will try to make it that. But this is not a political situation. This is a moral situation. And there's a lot of other things I could say about his presentation, but it was an hour of very concerning comments and leaning on us and our pastors to support biblically. Number 5, you shall not murder.
Thank you, George. I just received this yesterday, so watch for this in the bulletin. It's an upcoming event, February 24th, at Our Savior Church and School in Houston. So you can read more about that. We'll have that information for you. But it's all pertaining to life. Let's see. Wonder why it won't go to my last slide.
Coming after your job.
Go ahead, Chris. Tell him it's all his.
So as far as volunteering goes, we all do what we can. And a small church that we are, we've done an awful lot. So this is a thank you to everybody who has contributed to the work of the Life Team. Thank you very much. So that is all that I have, unless there's any questions. From the clinics?
Yeah.
I don't have the numbers on that. I mean, I guess you can kind of see from Real Options Christmas Tree. I don't know how many names that is, but primarily their clients are Hispanic in both of them, whereas if you were in Dallas, it would be different. But that's...
Good. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for taking up this cause and bringing it to our attention. Let's close since we have a few minutes, of course, you know, and we can't end early. Let's go to Exodus chapter 1. And this is really one of my favorite texts in the scriptures. And Exodus chapter 1, verse 15, of course, this is in the context of Exodus, the very beginning of the book. And it's quite interesting. If you start with verse 8, remember Exodus, remember God's people had been brought into this area of Egypt as a blessing, that this was a land that God brought them into and they were blessed. We remember the story of Joseph, right? And that's Genesis, and they're brought into Egypt as a blessing. But then Exodus says, oh no, yeah, things were great. They were in a world. There was a Pharaoh who knew Joseph's story and respected Joseph. But verse 8 of Exodus 1 is a haunting passage. And it goes, Exodus 1, verse 8, just one verse, and then we're going to move to verse 15. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. You know, this is a stark, you know, Moses is, means this verse, a new Pharaoh arose and he did not know Joseph. And then verse 9, he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them. That's a funny word. Let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. And then this is a story as Egypt begins to enslave the Israelites. And then, of course, they come to the conclusion, right? What is the reason they're afraid? The Egyptians, why are they afraid? Yeah, the Israelites are going to take their stuff. The Israelites are going to take over the land, and they say, hey, if war breaks out, we're going to lose everything we have. We better stay ahead of this. Right? So they're not living by faith, of course. They're Egyptians. They're not Israelites. But this then is the movement of slavery. So first it is the perspective of the Egyptians, right? This idea that they're going to lose their stuff. They're going to lose their possessions, the things that they worship, right? They're going to lose their things. And that then moves them to begin to consider their neighbors, the Israelites, as less than human, as something to be thrown away. So this is verse 15. Then the king of the, remember the Hebrew wives, right? They're pregnant and the king of Egypt wants them to put them to death. Verse 15. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and you see them on the birth stool, if it's a son, you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the male children live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, well, because the Hebrew women are vigorous. They give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that's born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Shiphrah and Puah should be two names that you are familiar with and give thanks to God for. Because Shiphrah and Puah, they're not only just protecting God's people, they're protecting the lineage from which Christ will come. They, you know, and they in this humble means, perhaps they knew that. Perhaps they knew the gospel and believed it. But look, we remember their names to this day. And what name does Moses not mention in this whole ordeal? King of Egypt. He's lost to history. But now we have these two midwives who, I mean, consider what they thought their end was going to be. When the king of Egypt, when Pharaoh tells you to do something like this, yeah, they certainly knew death was going to be their end. But like as we read in the book of Daniel and all throughout the scriptures, God protected them. God preserved them. And God rewarded them for their faithfulness, for their willingness to do this. And it's funny how they, you know, they said, well, we tried to get there on time, but these Hebrew women just give birth so fast, right? It's quite exceptional that they're willing to, that they say this, you know, to protect life. So Shifra and Pua are two names you should know and be familiar with and examples for us, not only in their service, but also with the realization that God blesses us when we're willing to suffer for his name, right? And that's exactly what these women were doing, because they were protecting the lineage of the Savior. It's pretty amazing to think, see God moving throughout all these ways. So that's what I wanted us to just end on here. And, you know, the, God is also a forgiving and merciful God. And this is why, you know, he sent Jesus to be born and to die so that we would be forgiven. You know, because you can imagine the other midwives too. I wonder if there were other Hebrew midwives. I almost would imagine there were. But look at how God honors Shifra and Pua, even into our day, right? How many thousands of years ago this was. And their names live on. Kind of like when Jesus said with the woman, I think it was her, who wiped his feet with perfume, and Jesus said, her name, she's going to be remembered for generations to come because of her service. And so we shouldn't lose sight of that, that God promises to reward us for doing these things. And that's good motivation, to please God. And to, I don't know, I've thought about putting those names on the sign, right? Every year, this time of year, I always want to put those two names up on our sign. It was something to the effect of celebrating Women's Month. Look up Shifra and Pua, right? Pretty great thing. So, yeah, Chris.
We have a few minutes, if you guys don't mind, because our casseroles are still heating. So if you don't mind, just indulge me for a couple of seconds with the life team. I just wanted to throw two things out there that have been on my mind and my heart about this issue of life for quite a while. Number one, I think one thing that we can do as Christians is that when we see people and friends who are having babies and who are pregnant, and I look here and I see these wonderful kids who are with us today, it's so neat. I think what we can, one thing we can do is being encouraging to them about the birth process, about the naturalness of the birth process. You're talking about midwifery, Pastor, in the Bible, about how we can support one another. The birth is a natural, normal process that happens to us. Instead of hopefully maybe sharing horror stories with people about labor and how things are really hard and how it can go wrong. But what a wonderful thing it is when you have your children born. And yes, of course, things can go wrong. And that's what we have doctors for and nurses. But I think maybe as Christians, I've been thinking about that for myself. But as I see somebody who's pregnant or about to give birth soon, or the family's growing, that's something we can really do as Christians, is not just encourage not to abort, but what a wonderful thing it is to go ahead and move ahead with life, and that when children are born and come into families, what a blessing it is. So that was just something I hope you guys don't mind my sharing with you. An additional issue is me from the legal end. I've been really thinking about this and praying about this and reading some groups' messages. I think there's a whole unsaid sort of issue that surrounds this issue of abortion legally and morally, is that one group that I've been reading about here in Texas has really encouraged pro-lifers to be really pro-life, meaning that if we support laws that make it illegal for doctors to provide abortions, or we're fighting, which, just so you know right now, there are lawsuits all over the country going on with respect to this chemical abortion, about whether it's legal or not, how that works in each different state. There are some things happening at the U.S. Supreme Court about that right now. So from a legal end, do we just prosecute the people who provide abortions that may be illegal in a particular state? Or do we morally look at the women who are involved in this? And there's a large segment of the pro-life movement that says absolutely not. We don't want to hold women accountable for what George just told us is, in fact, from God's law and perspective, murder. We don't want to do that, because that would have all host of ramifications and be really difficult. However, as this group has said, and other groups, and I've been thinking about myself, as Christians, God calls us to uphold his law, regardless of the consequences. And if we are to be truly pro-life, it seems to me that we have to support positions and groups and movements that say no. Everybody who's involved in the abortion procedure needs to be held accountable. So I just thought I would mention that. That's something to think about and pray about. I never really thought about that before, being pro-life most of my life. It's only been the last few years that I've started reading about that. And I think it's just something for us to think about.
Yeah, good.
So talk about this issue of life. I think that's something else that we need to pray about and see what God would have us do or how we could be involved in really being fully pro-life. So thanks.
Okay, real quick. We gotta close.
And if you're going to include all of that, where are the men?
Mm-hmm.
Why has not the pro-life movement put up billboard saying, men, where mm-hmm. are you? How are you helping the situation? Abortion doesn't have to occur without impregnation.
Yeah, right. yeah. Well, I think the Christian church has always kind of stood up for that, has always sort of said, look, yeah, the men as the leaders, the God-established household, I almost said anarchy, the God-ordained hierarchy of authority, the Christian church has always said that, you know, and just like all parts of this, haven't always been the best at it, but we've stepped away, you know, and this is in regards to that, we've stepped away from this picture of authority in the family, in the house, and I think this unfortunately is a natural reaction for that. And so we have to go back, right? We have to revert back to exactly what you said, is saying this is not just a women's issue. So I appreciate you saying that. Okay, let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, hear our prayers and grant us mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus, that even as we all confess and repent of our sins, that you would change our minds, that you would direct us to be more intentional about seeing the life that comes from your word, that in all of our vocations that you call us, that we would be ambassadors for life, gospel-motivated voices that speak of the life that has put an end to even death itself, that we all would find confidence and strength, even repenting of our past sins and errors, that we might be role models for those who are still caught in sin, and that they might see our joy in repentance and confessing our sins and being lifted of our burdens and sadness in your Son, Jesus. Help us as a church, O Lord, and strengthen us that we might be a light for those caught in darkness. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.